Yes, we are starting this thing. And, well, Alex, it's good to have you back again. Let's crank the music up, shall I? But no. Oh, yeah, high volume. Yeah, listen to that. Let's go back to low volume, mate. Let's go back. Because it's all cutting out. A bit like Arsenal against Liverpool. The team cut out a little bit. They revved a little bit at the start. And then the engine gave way, you know, more or less. Yeah. I don't know if the car analogy works. Yeah.
So I thought, obviously, I think most people, myself included, or certainly some people, thought it was kind of like a free hit, this game.
Oh, yeah.
We knew coming into it that Liverpool are one of those top three teams. There's definitely a class difference between City, Liverpool and Chelsea and the rest of the league. And I think, Liverpool is where Arsenal, that's what levels where Arsenal want to be. And this was a sort of an acid test for Arsenal. But I don't think it was the only acid test that Arsenal were going to have this season. Mm. And it was, it's the new team, the young team. Because I know we played City and Chelsea and we got our arses handed to us by City. But that was, that was a bit of a makeshift team. These are new players coming in. And I think for the first 30-odd minutes, we defended quite well. And we were quite compact, and then, and even to get in at half time 1-0 down, it was a good header by Mane, a sloppy free kick to give away, but a good header, and to get in a 1-0 down. And then, what I think was the disappointing thing for me was that when we came out second half, Liverpool changed their tactics a little bit. I think they were pressing higher, I think their fullback pressing higher, and what it did was it shut instantly, we saw the effect of it. So if RSC got the ball and he cut inside because Trent had pushed up to shut off the option of a pass to Smith Rowe. And so he played it inside. He didn't look up. He played it to Jota, 2-0, game over. Mm-hmm. And then it was Arsenal kind of, the third and the fourth goal, they were hit on the counter. And it's a little bit same old Arsenal. But I think, we have to take into account a few things. One, it was a free hit. Nobody expected us to go there and get a result.
No, that's true.
And, with this young team, that'll be a big experience for them. I think our senior players, there's a few senior players that need to hold their head in shame. I thought, Lokonga got a lot of, visibly made mistakes. I think everyone can remember a couple of his loose passes. I think that's why he got hooked off. But I don't think Partey helped him out too much. I think Partey had a poor game. He didn't seem fit. He didn't seem sort of up for it.
Well, he was injured. He was injured prior to it. The late fitness test.
This isn't Tavares. His mistakes are quite visible. You have to, hindsight's a lovely thing, but why didn't he play? Was it a fitness issue? Maybe I went wrong. But I think, Aubameyang, what did he do really? He had that one chance.
He nearly scored. I nearly scored that. On another day, that could have gone in.
Yeah, I just think we didn't create many chances.
No, there weren't many. Three.
Even before the goal.
Yeah.
The first goal, we had that one pick away, didn't we? And I think that was maybe our plan. But second half, we didn't adapt. Liverpool changed their plan. And, it bore fruit pretty early doors. We didn't change how we played. And I think that, for me, probably the second half performance is the disappointing thing was, we didn't really adapt our... We come in at half-time 1-0 down, and Liverpool came out a better team in that second half, and we didn't. It's a young team. Like I said, it's a young team. Well, there will be days like this. And, this is a Liverpool team. Bear in mind, this is a Liverpool team that's been playing together for 3-4 years. This is a team at the top of its game. And there were positives. I thought defensively, Ramsdale played very well, probably the man of the match, certainly for Arsenal.
Definitely, yeah. It's hard to argue with that. Yeah, Ramsdale was good again. He was strong. Made those double saves, which quite unforgettable, some of them. And he wasn't at fault really for the goals. I mean, somebody said there was one of the goals he could have done a bit more. I'm not so sure he could have done.
It's a bit close range, I thought. I know which one you mean. I think it was either the fourth or the third one. I think maybe the third one. It was a bit he pushed it into the corner, didn't he? But you, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah, I thought so.
He played very well. And to criticise him for that, I think it's a bit, well, you know, yeah, he did what he could. And Arsenal, you know, they're not there yet. That's what we have to remember. Arsenal aren't there yet. That's where we hope to be soon. And with, you know, more experience and sort of more days like this, we might get there. But certainly, you know, I think it's us to say men versus boys, but that it was an example for me, the finished article against the team is not the finished article.
Yeah, I was very tempted to say men versus boys, and then I thought it's too disrespectful to the team, really, because they did try, and they, to me, it wasn't like Man City. After Man City, I was totally demoralised. This time, I wasn't. Was nearly.
Yeah.
I mean, my feeling was the team will bounce back from this, and they'll bounce back quickly. That's just a gut instinct. I don't know if I'm right. I didn't think it was a dismal performance by any means. But it never really seemed like Arsenal were going to win there. But then no one expected it, as you said. Who expected Arsenal to go there and win or even draw? I mean, I expected a defeat. I thought it certainly wasn't out of the question that Arsenal might win. It wasn't out of the question. So we went in with a tiny bit of hope. But I was a bit worried about Saka and Smith Rowe because of being on England duty playing two games. And I just thought they're going to. It might not help their career at Arsenal initially, at least, you know, having all these England games. I just don't see it as a good thing. It is, in a way, it's a good thing. Long term, it's a good thing, but in the short term, it isn't, because they weren't quite as good as usual. Some people started saying they were really off it. I didn't agree with that. I just thought they weren't as good as usual. That's all. And all those little percentages add up. That's the trouble.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. And another thing, you know, I think the second half, yeah, Liverpool, Arsenal set themselves up, and I don't think much came through the middle. You know, defensively, we
were pretty
solid through the middle. I think it was down the wings. And like I said, in that second half, you had Trent and the Greek left back, I can't remember his name. They Simicus. Were bombing forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't helping, you know, or Saka and Smith Rowe, I don't feel, were helping their fullbacks as much. So Tomiyasu and Tavares were being double teamed lots and lots of times.
Mm.
So I think, you know, that's, and you know Liverpool are going to back outside. You know, that's how they do it. And someone like Trent, big pinging balls in. And I thought, you know, it was Trent's goal. I know that was a free kick, but, you know, got Trent pinging balls in. Arsenal don't think really combat that well. And I think Saka and Smith Rowe didn't help in that regard as much as maybe Arteta would have wanted. But, you know, it's a learning curve. Yeah, that's not a lot of those players are playing at Anfield against fans. So it's an experience for them. And, yeah, I think, like you said, it's we want us to bounce back. So how are we going to bounce back against Newcastle? Like they've got a new manager.
Mm.
So there's going to be an element of a new manager factor, I think, when we play them. And now, obviously, I'm assuming you've seen United have sat.
Yeah, The Lord of the Rings star's gone now. I feel so upset about that because they might actually be competitive.
Again, that new manager.
Really. Yeah, and then Man U are coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, United, we play them next week. And on the face of it, have a better squad than we do. Like, for me, it's laughable that United are as bad as they are.
Yeah.
But it's not, it is because of the players, but they're not playing and whatever else. But, you know, you can't tell me that another manager's not going to make a good team out of that lot. So it's a bit of a concern. I wanted Ollie to say, just because I thought Arsenal are really competing. Top four, top six. And in that, you've got Conte now at Spurs. So he'll make them better, which again isn't difficult. They've got good players. He'll get some work out of Kane. So it's going to be difficult for Arsenal. But that's where we're aiming for. But I think if you'd said to an Arsenal fan by Christmas time, and I know we've still got a month to go, by Christmas time, we're in the mix of the top six.
Mm.
I think most of us fans would have gone, okay, we'll take that. It's not brilliant, but it's not, you know, we're not a million miles off the 9 points off Chelsea. And yeah, of course, we're not going to challenge for the league, but, you know, I don't think, you know, like Ramsdale said, this game should not define our season.
Oh, he said that.
Not define. Yeah, he said that after the match. And he's right.
Yeah.
I agree. It shouldn't define our season. We want to be winning games like this, but, you know, none of us expected to go there and get a result.
Yeah,
I was with a couple of friends. Like I did a pre-podcast. I found the live show. It is on Podbean.
Yeah, sure.
So it is there. So I was like, we talked about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I could download it and then stick it on the.
Yeah, so we got. Like, so I don't website. Know how many viewers we got.
You had a few. Right? You had a few. I could see that. So that's good.
Oh really?
Yeah, you had three or four or five.
Yeah, we talked for a long time.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, the figures were right.
He was upset about the result, and I was kind of like, "Well, now we never expected to get a win here. What we want to do is we want to be in the mix of the top six, you know, maybe even top four, come the end of the."
I still think top four is. Obviously, if you lose into the top three, it's no great shame. When okay, the aim's never been top four. It was under Wenger, I know, but I mean, I don't think Arteta wants more than that. But I think he'll accept top four this year, and I think most Arsenal fans will be pleased with that, especially if there's another trophy as well.
I think Arteta would take top six this
year. Yeah, and that would be progress in itself. But I honestly think
Get back into Europe.
That team to me is top four. At the moment, but we'll see what happens to Spurs if they're going to improve a lot. Who else? West Ham, they're a bit up and down at the moment.
I think West Ham is an interesting one because you know, they've got Europe, they've got a small squad.
Yeah.
So there's a few for me. I think West Ham are a good team, but you know they lose one or two players. You know they lost yesterday, for example. Like,
To Wolves.
You know, we're still in fifth, and all the people around us, West Ham. Lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's so it was a good day for us in terms of points. You know, hopefully Spurs lose today against Leeds. They play well and they'll have that new manager factor, won't they? They'll win.
It's no chance.
Yeah.
I'll be very shocked.
I don't think Leeds are as good as they were last year, for example. But yeah, you know, so I think, you know, see how we do against Newcastle. Obviously, we've got two tough games after Newcastle. Yeah, Newcastle will be tricky just because of the new manager factor. But you've got two games after that. You know, United away and Everton away.
Yeah, they're going to be really, really tough, especially now they've got rid of Frodo Baggins, you know. I just really wanted Frodo to be at the helm because I just thought this guy's just useless. Well, it's absolutely useless.
Yeah, I think we've had a very good chance with him charge. Now, I'm not so sure, it'd be interesting whether United start to turn up and play, because the players that they have, there's no excuse, is there?
No, of course, they've got top players, really have, and, you know, the motivation is a question. It was like when I was listening to Perry Groves, you know, talking on that, I always forget the name of it, what's it called? Oh, Le Grove, that's it. Those guys, it's so good. But when they had Perry Groves, he was talking about how important desire is. And he said, you know, that ties in with what Arteta wants. But when you look at Man U, I think Ronaldo still has desire. But does Pogba have desire? I like Pogba as a player, but I know Man U fans don't rate him, which I find really bizarre. Because in terms of talent, he's right up there.
But he doesn't show it, does he?
No, he doesn't.
His decision making, it's like a little bit Zachary-ish at times. Like he doesn't care if his decision making affects
the team. Like, and they are a bunch of individuals. They simply are.
Yeah, they are.
Somebody else called them that the other day, and one of the pundits. But I've been saying that for ages because I just said, Greenwood, individual. Pogba, individual. Ronaldo is an individual. They don't gel together. And for whatever the other guy's name is, Fernandez or whatever, I think he's another one. They're all prima donnas, but they don't gel together like a team. And Arsenal gel better than they do. So we'll see if they can get a result.
It's the sum of the parts, isn't it?
Yeah, and they just are. Wasn't that the line? I saw that line. That's the reason they sacked Solskjaer. They said, basically they're playing worse than the sum of the parts, which is probably about right.
What's the expression? The whole is less than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, and it should be the other way around. The whole should be greater than the sum of the parts, but not in United.
I think it is.
I mean, it is looking like a team. And it's like Perry Groves was saying, that Ramsdale's made the difference because he's come in and he's pumped up. And the other guys on that podcast, they were saying the same thing. They said, we didn't even know that Leno, we were quite happy with Leno. Then Ramsdale comes in and he shows us what we've been missing. And they said the same goes for Tomiyasu on right back because, I liked Hector Bellerin a lot. But now that he's gone, I don't miss him that much, and I feel guilty for saying that. But
and they mentioned it as well, didn't they? Yeah. About his
since the injury, it did affect him. He was so quick. He was, in fact, I remember when I was reading a lot about Arsenal that he was supposed to be the quickest in training. He was even quicker than Walcott. That's how fast he was.
Yeah.
I never really saw that on the pitch particularly, but I knew he was quick. And I saw him as a very young player as well. I saw him playing, Boreham Wood. So I watched his career for a long time, this guy, right through, about a year after he joined from Barcelona. And I just thought, this guy, I didn't see him as a right back, by the way. I think I saw him as a midfielder. I was really pleased with, what he offered Arsenal in terms of pace. But then, with some players, if they're reliant on their pace alone, I'm not saying he was just the pace, but if that's a major part of the game and then you take that away, it takes a long time, or maybe they can never really adapt to being a different sort of player. And that seemed to be the problem with him, really. Whereas Tomiyasu is better in the air. He's more tenacious. He seems fitter. He's just very impressive. And he didn't get mugged at Liverpool. The only player who I don't really want to pick on anybody actually, but the left back obviously made a mistake. But I thought it was an honest mistake. I didn't get that upset about it. Like if Shaka had done it, I would have done my pieces.
Yeah, it was an honest mistake, borne out by very good tactics from Liverpool. Saw in the second half, I felt they were much more aggressive with their press. And, like I said earlier, they pushed Trent and the left back higher. So, Tomiyasu and Tavares, A, they had no out ball on the wing. So, Smith Rowe and Saka were marked more out of the game.
Yeah.
There was no out ball for them. Less of an out ball. That's why Tavares came inside. And, he obviously busted himself. And, I don't think he hid.
No, he didn't. It really knocked his confidence, Zach, because I thought he'd been playing reasonably well up to that point, although he had such a tough time. Because when you think about it, Salah spent a lot of the time down that wing as well, and then he's got the other guy, Trent, the pair of them. Salah on his side. I felt he dealt with him relatively well because Salah was pretty quiet for the most part of the game. Near the end, he started, obviously got his goal as well. But that was after that that shocking back pass. But as I said, I just felt I thought it was a bit of a dot on the cards because, there were a lot of stray passes at that stage and it was starting to be same old Arsenal, but same old Arsenal with a difference. That's what I thought. Same old Arsenal, but they're not throwing the towel in. I mean, yes, they weren't playing very well, but they didn't. Yeah, they didn't stop trying.
That was the more upsetting thing. How toothless we were.
Yeah.
I thought from an attacking standpoint, I thought defensively it's always going to be hard. Liverpool are a very good team. But I think from an attacking standpoint, I just felt we didn't offer much coming forward.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't look really like scoring. And for me, that was the more. That's the thing I was less happy about.
And yeah,
that was it.
Really. Yeah, I can understand that because, yeah, Oba's top was a top player, and is he still? I'm not sure. He's decent, and Lacker also. You know, they tried to combine. They just couldn't really get it going, could they, the pair of them? But again, I didn't think they were terrible.
I thought I was, you know, again, hindsight's one of them. I wouldn't have taken off Lacazette. I would have taken off Aubameyang. And Aubameyang seems to be a bit invincible at the minute.
Yeah.
And I think I wouldn't be surprised if he goes, maybe in the summer or maybe even in January. Because I think that now, with Arsenal continuing rebuild, which, you know, as we saw, we're not the finished article just yet, they're continuing the development of Arsenal, then, you know, we need to buy a new striker.
Yeah, that's what, to echo the other podcast again, you know, that's more or less what they were saying. They just said, those two, decent players, but they're gonna have to go as part of, as you said, the rebuild, because defence looks pretty good. Even on a bad day, like to me, even though they let four in, they didn't look that bad to me. They looked,
they had
good moments as well.
Towards the end, their heads dropped.
Yeah.
There's a little counterattack. I agree. I don't think, we certainly look solid for part of it. But we have to attack and defend. And I think, that's where we need work. I think Arsenal need some work. And I think they're going to look for a big striker like Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, that would be a good call.
That lad from Florentina. They're going for an animal. And because I think that's how they want to play. And I don't think Aubameyang fits into that. I think he might stay to the end of the year. But I think he's proven a little bit recently that he was a good player.
Yeah.
But he's not a player that we want him to be now.
Yeah, it's interesting that because, again, Perry Groves said some interesting stuff about Oba. He said something along the lines of he felt that Arteta didn't manage him correctly at the start. And that, you know, when he, do you remember the game where he was put on the bench against Spurs? He said, well, Perry Groves reckons that's the reason why we haven't really seen him the same since. He said things are getting better again now. He's almost the way he was, but you know, obviously he's got a bit older since. But last season was a bit of a write-off, he said, because I think Arteta didn't quite manage him properly in that situation.
I agreed with that. I agreed with what Perry Grove was saying. I think, and it's like, he mentioned as well about Arteta learning on the job.
Yeah.
Which Arteta is.
Yeah.
And had someone a bit more senior with him to say, well, maybe the bollock him in front of the players, but then privately say, look, I need you, you know, like that. And I felt he had a bit of an issue with Bellerin at the beginning of the season. He kind of said to him, I want you out. You remember when we played Brentford?
Got
brought on as a sub at right back.
Oh.
He said to Bellerin, and kind of like Arteta saying, look, fuck you. And I just think maybe there's a better way of dealing with it. And it's, you know, we said, you know, he's still learning on the job, isn't he? And I think that perhaps if he had someone a bit more senior with him to help him through the occasional moments, but what he has got is he has got young players buying into what he's saying. You know, people like Ramsdale, Saka, and people like that are buying into Arteta's tactics. And I think there'll be positives to take from yesterday.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. What did you think about the row, the spat that Arteta had with Klopp? Because I noticed, and I'm not really sure where I stand on this, that's why I'm asking your opinion. I'm really not sure where I stand on this. Because on the one hand, I like the fact that he's passionate. But when I looked at the result on the pitch, the result was, in my opinion, that Liverpool stepped up their game. The fans started getting all roused, and that you don't really want that at Anfield, I don't think. The fans were they raised the volume quite a lot after Arteta had that bit of a row or whatever you want to call it, fracas with Klopp. So what were your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that's another situation where maybe Arteta shouldn't have done whatever it was he did?
No, I don't. I think he was right. I think he's defending his player.
Yeah.
And I can see why he's doing it. You're right. It did raise the fans. I don't think of it. I think Liverpool were already starting to get into the game a bit more when it happened. I think Mane, so in terms of what it did for the fans, I think, yes, it did kick them off a bit more. What did it do? Liverpool, I don't think it benefited Liverpool that much because I think they were already starting to get into the game a bit more. So I'm not going to subscribe to that. I think Mane was... It was a display of how to do the dark arts. Like Liverpool, for me, they bossed the midfield. So when we talked about Lokonga and Partey, I think Liverpool bossed our midfield. They were physical from the get-go, very quickly they were physical, very quickly they were put tackled in. Mane should have had a yellow long before he did. And the fact that no Arsenal players got a booking.
Oh, yeah, that's just something.
You know, they weren't at the races.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't up for a fight. They never bore up for a fight. So I think Arteta, maybe he was trying to stick up for his players, which is absolutely fair enough. You know, you want your manager to stick up for your players. So I think that's why he did it. Come on.
Yeah, it was just weird, though, because my thoughts at the time, I mean, I'm very pro-Arteta. Even when he gets it wrong, to me, he gets it right because I feel like he's going to learn from it. But with that, it wasn't right at the time. It was just afterwards. I thought, oh, my God, I wish he hadn't done that. Because at the time when he did it, I had no problem with it. But then after, my thoughts were Liverpool raised their game right after that. But I thought it was purely because the crowd got roused. So they added volume. And then Liverpool suddenly they seemed to have more legs all of a sudden. And you know, I mean, they were a bit on top already, but I just thought they were very dominant after that incident. And, you know,
I know they scored a few minutes after, but I felt it was coming. Like, Ramsdale made a fair few
saves. He made a couple of double saves before the goal. Yeah, that's true.
Before that.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, I always felt Liverpool were going to score anyway.
Yeah, it was certainly looking likely. But the way Ramsdale is, I thought, oh, well, you never know. Arsenal might sneak a draw here. It's not likely, but it's possible. Because Ramsdale is just so confident. So then it makes me feel confident. I looked at the defenders and I thought, yeah, they made the odd mistake here and there, but nothing major. They could get through this game. And then you looked at the midfield and... Actually, for me, Sammy Lokonga, I quite liked his performance in the first half. I think the second half, not so much. Partey was
not very.
Yeah,
he got let down. I think our senior performance let us down. I don't think they turned up as much as we needed them to turn up. But I think part of that was because Liverpool stifled them. Like Liverpool had a plan. Yeah, Liverpool knew. Yeah, and yeah, I saw Souness said something. He goes, Liverpool lost for the first time this season. They're going to come out like pissed off. They're not going to, you know, they were a poor form against West Ham. They don't, yeah, they didn't want to lose, obviously. No team wants to lose. The Liverpool at home, it's a big game. They'll come at us. And he was right. They did. And so, yeah, they had a plan for Aubameyang. They had a plan. They could have seen how we played. They had a plan for Lacazette. And, you know, but like this is a team that's 5 years in the making. You know, Klopp has had lots of time with this team. He's got them playing the way he wants them to play. So it's nothing shameful, I think, losing to this lot. I was disappointed with the third and the fourth goal, definitely.
Mm.
And I would have taken a 2-0 loss. A 4-0 loss is a bit hard to take, but Liverpool are that much better than most teams, you know.
Yeah, and a defeat is a defeat in a sense. I mean, it's not good on the goal difference side of things, but But really, I honestly didn't really. I felt like I should care more, but I wasn't that upset purely because I just felt the team's not played that badly. It's not like Man City. Man City defeat was very hard to take. I really struggled with that one. The Chelsea defeat was pretty. I found that harder to take than this one. I'm not sure why that was. I mean, somebody said again, I think on that same podcast, somebody said, yeah, but actually Arsenal have only got a problem with Liverpool and Man City, not with Chelsea, because every now and then Arsenal turn up and beat Chelsea. And it's not been that long since Arsenal beat Chelsea.
Yeah, that's another thing. We beat United away from home. We did the double over Chelsea last year. I think Chelsea have improved as a team. And what we've done, we've signed younger players. See where we are at the end of the season.
I can't see Arsenal are going to finish fourth at best. That's what I think. But I think at best is possible. I just honestly think so. But then, you know, it's the African Cup of Nations. How's that going to affect things? But as you said, if Arsenal bring in... I mean, what's the chances of bringing in somebody like Calvert-Lewin? Do you honestly think Everton will let him go? I mean, he'll probably want to go to Arsenal.
Well, I don't know. He's a gooner, isn't
he? Oh, Calvert-Lewin is. I didn't know that. I knew Watkins. Watkins is. Ollie Watkins is. Yeah, I think I'd prefer Calvert-Lewin of the two. I think Watkins is decent, but I really like Calvert-Lewin. So it's going to cost a lot of money, though. We're talking 60 million, right? Something like that, or 70 million.
But I think Arsenal are willing to spend that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, Arsenal definitely need to bring in somebody because it's the African Cup of Nations. So even if you put all the sort of contractual and... The contractual situation with Lacazette to one side and the fact that Oba's not getting any younger, if you put that to one side, you still need to bring in somebody because we just haven't seen enough of Martinelli, have we?
He hasn't kicked on, has he?
Not really.
He hasn't kicked on.
When I've seen him, he's not impressed as the way he did. But then again, he's still young, still very young. So
He is. For me... He's another one where I think he's there for the future.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's certainly not what the one right now.
Yeah.
So, I think we need to work on, because I think Pepe might go. So, we need a backing option, really. I think a striker is definitely a number nine. It's definitely top of the list. And I think yesterday highlighted that need for a number nine.
It cracked me up. Somebody was saying, we need a Giroud type, because I always liked Giroud. And I remember every time I was at the Emirates, and the fans would just always give Giroud such a hard time, and I never understood it. They'd back him when he scored, but they were, and they'd sing his name after he scored. But before he scored, they'd go, "No, it's Giroud again. Giroud's messed up." And I just thought, leave the guy alone. I mean, I nearly spoke out about it because I was getting really getting the ump. I just thought, leave the guy alone. He scores quite a few goals, actually, for somebody who's supposedly so rubbish. You know, he's done all right since he left Arsenal, so I kind of rest my case on that. But I mean, obviously, Giroud's too old to come back, but somebody like Giroud would be...
I think they want someone a bit more
mobile, yeah. A bit quicker, but... Yeah. But like him in the air, I mean. Like him in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
With his link-up play.
He wants a drop.
That's all.
Yeah, that's an absolute unit.
Yeah.
Great in the air, a physical presence, puts himself about, hold the ball up, but also wrap it and get in behind the lines.
Yeah, and that was the thing with Giroud. He couldn't do that, could he? He didn't have any pace. Yeah. Well, he wasn't any slower than Harry Kane, though. So how did he ever do it?
I don't know. I thought Kane's quicker.
Yeah, I'd love to see those two in a race. Well, not now, because, you know, I wonder what their fastest time is. I used to see him quite a lot, you know, because, you know, my local team's Millwall and I saw him on loan and this guy was so slow. I couldn't believe it. And he was playing Championship level and I never would have dreamed he'd be playing for England. No way in the world. I think a lot of the Millwall fans liked him because, his passing was good. His passing was good. Just had no pace whatsoever. But And I mean, he may have got quicker after that because he was pretty young. I don't know how old he was, but I thought this guy's. I didn't even see him as a Premier League player. And I normally, I like to think I get more right than I get wrong, but I totally came wrong. But then when I watch him in games, again, I just think he doesn't really, he's just a strong, he's very strong in the air and he's such a handful. So I suppose, and plus, yeah, he's got awareness. He's what, sorry?
Yeah. He's a great finisher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no doubt about that. I just can't understand how he's done so well with what he's got, you know, because, you know, when you see these other players, like Calvert-Lewin, to me, he's got much more. But who gets more goals? We know the answer, you know. And Ober's got more, but obviously Ober's not great in the air is the issue. But aside from that, he's just got blistering pace. I mean, although it's slowing down a bit. And he's as good a finisher.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's the problem. He is slowing down a bit. I think I noticed at one point in the Liverpool game. I'm trying to think who he's up against, but he just couldn't leave anyone for dead anymore. Not like he could say 2 years ago. So it's just time's caught up with him. Unfortunately,
it does for everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes me feel quite sad because he's like one of my favourite players, really. So, but you know, just gotta move on, I suppose, and just bring in someone else. But would you bring in someone from overseas, or would you definitely go hell for leather to bring in?
I think the fact that you look at something like Ben White.
Yeah.
Ben White's hit the ground
pretty much.
Because he's got I think he's got that Premier League experience. And so for me, ideally I'd want someone who's played in the Premier League already.
Yeah, and even get that sort of their England team backbone. That's why I like the idea of bringing either one of those two guys in, Calvert-Lewin or Watkins. One of those two.
Yeah, I know you pay a bit of an England tax, don't you?
But yeah, it's the issue. Yeah, it's the cost. But then you don't have all the issues. Like, obviously, Arsenal have been burnt a little bit with Pepe, you know, coming in. But there's obviously a lot more to that one. But bringing somebody in like that, it was going to take time for him to adjust. And then when he adjusts, he gets kicked out of the team. But he's not really been good enough, is the truth. I love Pepe, but he's just not been good enough for most of this season. Yeah, he's so inconsistent. Yeah. He's got everything. I can't understand why he's not producing. I mean, last year, if I remember correctly, his stats were better than Zaha at Palace last year, even though Palace fans would hate to admit it. But, you know, if you look at the statistics, he produced more assists, I think, than Zaha. And, you know, played a similar number of games, more goals and assists if you add the two together. And but this year, he's not had many opportunities, has he? But so what do you think?
Much, yeah, but yeah, I don't think he fits our Arteta's plans.
No, it's just the issue with him is he doesn't work hard enough is the issue. And I agree that that's the way Arsenal need to go. They need to go down that route. You know, as Perry Groves was saying, George Graham, basically the deal was you either work and stay in the team and maybe have a chance of playing in the team. And if you don't work, your history doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how talented you are. If you're not going to put a shift in, you're out. But yeah, I feel Arteta's been similar. And then I asked him as well. They asked him about Guendouzi, because Guendouzi sort of got himself in the France team, so he can't be doing too badly. And some Arsenal fans love to have him back. I've sort of given up on Guendouzi as much as I like him or liked him. I just don't think Arteta's not going to waste time on him, is he? Simple as that.
I think Perry Groves even used those words, and he said, I don't want to waste any more time on you. And you can't really argue with that. Like, it's all about efficiency, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, is it work but benefit him? And you've got someone like Saka who listens and
That's totally it.
Everything Arteta wants him to do, he'll do it without question. And you won't be a twat about it. He's not, you know, it doesn't affect the morale. Whereas I think, you know, Guendouzi does. Yeah, and Guendouzi did have a few chances.
Yeah, he got a few. And it's like Grove said, he's good, but he's not as good as he thinks. That's the issue. Whereas Saka is humble. Saka's humble. Smith Rowe, humble. Yeah. So these guys with humility, you can work with them. You can make them better players because they'll listen. Whereas Guendouzi, unfortunately, there's not much sign that he's ever going to listen to anyone, you know, as much as I like him. I feel upset that, you know. And what about the centre back? I'm nearly Saliba. Do you think he's going to be outed?
Everyone talks about Saliba. It's like, I'd say I can't win with him.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
right.
Goes, well, I don't know, but he's doing really well in France. Yeah. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's what I'd say I would have wanted him to have good games, like good experience, play well, get your confidence up. And then comes to the Premier League. He knew he probably couldn't play in the Premier League, or he wasn't ready for the Premier League. So, you know, Arteta wants to, I'm pretty sure Arteta doesn't want to waste the money that I've spent. Even though he's not an Arteta signing, he sees the possibility that Saliba could come good.
Mm.
But he didn't think he was good enough to play for Arsenal at this moment in time. He didn't think he could give him game time. So he's gone, OK, I'll put him in a French team, get his confidence up. And then, you know, it's like, it's not a surprise, is it, that I think Arteta will be very happy with it. And so, who knows? Like, we've only got, you know, Ben White or Gabriel. If one of them get injured, who comes in then?
Could you see him returning in January? I mean, there was talk that he might be recalled. I don't see it personally.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I honestly don't think he'll ever play for Arsenal, if you ask me straight. I would just say that.
Really?
It's only because I've just got a feeling about it. It was a bit like there's certain players, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It's just too many question marks. And I've got no question marks about the player because I haven't seen him enough to have question marks. I did see him in one pre-season game, and he was quite good. So it's just too many mysterious decisions have been made regarding this player, which makes me think that Arsenal are just basically finding the right time to sell him. And that's what I think is going to happen. I might be wrong. It's just a feeling I've got. I mean, I just remember going back a very, very long time. Arsenal signed a player who ended up at Spurs without even playing a game for Arsenal. It was Clive Allen. And so he came in for quite a lot of money. And then Arsenal just sold him in the same transfer window, because they didn't really have transfer windows in those days. And he just got sold, I don't even know how many weeks later. And I've never really understood that deal. And ever since then, I've always...
Did they change the manager at the time?
I don't think so. I'll have to look up what happened with that. Because I think he came in from Palace. And then I think Arsenal might have made a profit. So whether that was the reason why they sold him, it was just weird. So Clive Allen, why? And he was a top striker. You know, he was scoring a lot of goals. Yeah, he's England international. So why did Arsenal sign him to then sell him to Spurs? It was just, I think that's where he went next. It was one of the oddest things ever. But I didn't really see that one coming, if truth be told. I don't think anybody did. But things go on behind the scenes at football clubs. And I just cannot understand, you know, because he went on and scored a lot of goals for Spurs as well. So when I look back on it, it just felt like the weirdest deal. Like, I'm looking at him here. Yeah, zero games. Maybe it wasn't Spurs he went to next. I think it was, he went from QPR to Arsenal and then to Palace. So I was wrong about Spurs. But it just felt painful. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he says he signed, this sounds like no money at all, but he signed for Arsenal in the summer of 1980 for £1.25 million, didn't play a single competitive match, but he played in the pre-season. And then, it was to get Kenny Sansom, that's why.
Okay.
So Arsenal felt they needed Kenny Sansom more than they needed Allen, so they let him go to the Palace.
Yeah.
So I wasn't very happy about it at the time, if truth be told, because he got when he went, they didn't do that well though, Palace. But he didn't. So he didn't get many goals that season. But it was the season after he started getting loads of goals. And then I was still cheesed off about it. I went, this guy was an Arsenal player. And he didn't even play a competitive game. And now he's gone. You know, I was just really, really upset about it. And Saliba, I don't know. I get the same feeling. So it's all like superstition. Yeah. And there's no real reason for it. It's just my superstitious nature, I think. It's just this.
It could be.
And yeah, it's just like, this. Whenever you get the... I don't know. I think with Saliba, I've got more reason to feel that way. I didn't have any reason with Clive Allen. It was a shock. But with Saliba, it's just because I thought, first of all, why didn't they not loan him out? And I know there's been lots of talk about why they didn't, but why didn't they loan him out or insist that he goes to a Premier League club or a Championship club where he could toughen up? They send him back to France, he's not even going to learn English. There's no way he's learning English in France. Absolutely zero chance. So he's not going to be acclimatized to English football when he comes back because he's going to be speaking a different language. I don't think he's got any intention of... I think it's a lot down to the player. And I think it's just a guess. I don't know. But I just feel that Arteta probably doesn't like his attitude. It's just a guess. Because it's funny that he goes to the same club as Guendouzi. What a coincidence, you know. And Marseille's, I've been to Marseille, and it's a different scene. It's a massive club, Marseille, massive. You know, that's why Guendouzi upset all the PSG fans, didn't he? Because he said, yeah, he likes to play in Paris, but not at PSG stadium. He can't stay out of trouble, that guy. You just can't. So yeah, I just feel my gut feel is Saliba's never going to play for Arsenal. If he does, I'll be pleased to be proven wrong. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I just hope Arsenal get a decent fee for him, because I just see it's going to be, you know, what are they going to get for him now? They're not going to get 27 million, are they? You know, with this situation in the world and everything, with the economic situation, and just can't see it. And French clubs haven't got that kind of money, have they? That's the thing. So anything else that we need to discuss about the Liverpool game, though, going back to that? I think we covered most of it.
I think it's pretty much, we can put that to bed. Let's see how we do against Newcastle.
Yeah, and so you're not very optimistic by the sound of it, okay, you know, for this game, the Newcastle game.
I am. It's a big test of character.
Yeah, it's a big test.
But for these players, though, you know, they're going to have lots of tests of character. And this is the first one of many, I'm sure. So, you know, I hopefully the players will turn up. Hopefully and Arteta's got a week with them. And you know, and this is part of the process, isn't it? That's been said a fair few times. I trust the process. I have to admit, I do have time for Arteta. I think he is trying to do something. You know, we can see the type of players he's in. We can see the type of football he wants us to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's see how we go. Like, you know, there's always been bumps in the road. But, you know, we went 10 games unbeaten. Yeah, I know we didn't play great teams, but considering where we started off at the beginning of September.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that. So when you're looking at the fixtures ahead, so we got in the league, it's Newcastle at home, Man U away, Everton away, Southampton at home, West Ham home. That's a tough one. Leeds away. Yeah, there's
none of them easy games.
Norwich away.
Maybe Southampton. I don't think they're doing very well at the minute, but everyone else, Everton away, United away, not easy.
Yeah.
West Ham at home, they're a good team.
Yeah, certainly at the moment, yeah. Apart from Wolves, they lost to Wolves.
So, which is a surprise, isn't it?
But yeah, so looking at the games, obviously Wolves are coming up as well at the Emirates. So looking at the games, the tough ones really, Man U away, to me, the ones that, well, I'm looking at the fixture difficulty rating according to that fantasy football. So Man U away is a 4, And Arsenal West Ham at the Emirates is also a four, but all the others are twos and threes, according to the fixture difficulty rating. They're not no pushovers. Well. Yeah. They're a
we don't always do well.
Yeah, that's right. It's always I've always felt it's always trips to the northwest. It's always trips to the northwest, even when Wenger had a really decent team. The games that I was most fearful of would be Blackburn away, Bolton away, those games in the northwest. I have no idea why, but just never seemed to be, you know, the best of hunting grounds for Arsenal, I felt. Although, you know, if you look at the results, I mean, when there'd be a terrible result, it'd 9 times out of 10 be in the northwest of England. So they just don't like the weather up there or something. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah.
Why that area? I have no idea. But then, if they had got rid of Solskjaer, I would have fancied Manu away. I would have thought Arsenal can turn them over. I mean, when I say turn them over, not like smash them 4-0 or anything, but nick a result. And I'm still I mean, who have they appointed? Isn't it?
Carrick.
Interim. Yeah. But whether he can GM up for these games and get the best out. I reckon, in effect, Ronaldo will be the manager. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Ronaldo will just call the shots. Who knows?
To him, don't they, more than else.
Yeah, and Carrick, they won't even listen to him at all if they've got, you know, with Ronaldo there. Who's not going to listen to Ronaldo? So, yeah, actually, it's a dangerous situation that's occurred. So it's a shame. It's a shame they got rid of Lord of the Rings. Right. Anyway, so if that's all we've got to say on the Liverpool game, it seems like neither of us are as disappointed as we were earlier in the season. So that's got to be good. If other people are feeling the same way, then, and you know, it just does seem that Arteta, because of that run, you know, the fans are going to be patient for a while, which has got to be good news, for the most part, at least.
Yeah, I think they should be. And I think, you know, the type, like I said, the type of players that we're building and the type of team that he's trying to make,
yeah,
I think affords him, you know, possibly a bit more time. I don't know how much more time. I'd have to think by the end of the season he needs to get top six.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it looks like it's still just, despite that result, it still looks like it's eminently doable.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, whether it happens is another story, but because, of course, we don't know about injuries. We don't know how the African Cup of Nations is going to affect Arsenal and other teams. We can't be sure how long these players be away for, and if the other players step up, we don't know what they're going to do in the January transfer window. So it's a lot of unknowns.
January transfer windows.
Really.
He needs to continue. I think we need to boss the foot. Maybe see if we can get rid of a bit more dead words like Mary.
I forgot he's even there. I totally forgot that he's.
Klasnac.
Yeah.
There's still a few. Well, Klasnac is injured, so I don't think we'll be getting rid of him anytime soon.
How long's his contract for? When's
he
out?
I think it's out at the end of the year. Maybe another one more year, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, sounds about right. Right, okay, well, we'll leave it there then. I'll hit the music, high volume or low. Let's go high. Right, okay, well, that's it then. I hope you've enjoyed it. The music's so dodgy. It's getting dodgier every single time I play it. But right, that's it. Till the next time. Adios. Oh, no, it's playing the